A Crack in the Wall. Derek had a family somewhere, but they were far away in another building across town, and he did not know them nearly so well as the crack in the wall. The crack edged its way around a blocked-up doorway. Some days it appeared to emit glints of fresh light between the fractured paint and plaster. Derek knew, with the knowing that comes of study and reason, that if the crack were to spread and the doorway reopen, he would find himself staring at Ewan in an office identical to his own. With the hope that comes of long hours and black coffee, he preferred to imagine a tropical garden on the other side of the partition, beyond the carapace of magnolia emulsion. Derek's willful misconception about the crack was augmented by the display of plants that had been established to try and hide it. A palm arched to form an umbrella above the other vegetation. Its fingers tapped Derek's shoulder each morning as he hung his coat on a hook. Beneath its canopy, the heart-shaped leaves of a philodendron were spreading inexorably to colonize the office. Some mornings, another of the plants would be decked in large beads of liquid which it had wept during the night. A woman came each Tuesday to mist the plants, feed their roots, and wipe their fronds. To Derek, the process seemed very much like that of tending children. He wondered whether this woman with a career in plant care had children of her own who would pull leaves off plants if left unsupervised. His own wife had no interest in anything these days which fell outside the boundary of the home. During their engagement, they had spent evenings together in darkened cinemas, holding hands and watching popcorny films. But that part of their lives was long dead now. Derek could confirm that he had a family by taking a key from the bunch in his pocket and turning it in the lock of their front door. But he remained uncertain of both ownership and belonging. It was as though they had been grafted onto him, like a tree bearing multiple varieties of fruit. He wished that, instead, he could be a gnarled old slow tree, true to some older tradition of horticulture. Each morning, at a few minutes to nine, Derek found himself back in his office. In his cell, he was subjected to the throes of the aged central heating system cranking into life. To an irregular rhythm, it produced hollow thuds. A man with maracas accompanied it in a lackluster fashion from deep within the solid radiator. His colleagues rarely troubled him in the mornings, and the telephone provided infrequent distractions. In fact, he was aware that the nature of his job had subtly altered over the past few years. He seemed to find himself with less occasion for contact with the other staff. The work could be accomplished quite satisfactorily through communion with green plastic trays. In time-honoured tradition, these were named in and out. In other offices, he knew more frivolous practices were adopted. He had seen the labels, garbage in, garbage out. On these same desks were the invidious boxes topped with screens. At night you could hear their hard disks buzzing like a distant swarm of bees. But by day the sound was masked by cantering keyboards and clacking voices. The envelope was on his desk for 2 days before he opened it. With his work, he was scrupulously efficient. But this was a private communication. He knew what information it would contain, and he saw no reason to place its perusal above the execution of his duties. On a safari out of the room to kettle and basin, he met one of his superiors. The greeting was uncalled for, and too jovial. Derrick's belief about the contents of the letter were confirmed. The manager had been seeking some sort of reaction, Derrick supposed, but he obliged with none. Elsa knew that she had a husband somewhere, but he kept himself apart, far away across town. She saw his body at intervals, but had long ago lost track of his mind. Sometimes Elsa wondered if she were losing track of her own. Elsa saved things, money, whales, lengths of string and aluminium foil. In different ways, each was preserved by her care. This process of protecting things required much space, and Derrick seemed unhappy when he was confronted by the black-sacked hordes of tins and mountains of strung newspapers for recycling. To try to control the environment to which he returned home, she bundled the multiplicity of collections into the cupboard under the stairs. Tucked securely away behind the door, they could flaunt their variety unseen. Derrick's idea of relaxation and her own never seemed to meet. The difference in their ages, his 11 extra years, had never seemed a problem until the twins were born. She knew that Samantha and Simon often irritated him. Their wound-like smears of jam defiled the wallpaper, and the carpet could become a battlefield of toys. Elsa was conscious of taking command and parading the family troops for his satisfaction. But march them up to the top of the hill as she might, or even march them down again, it always transpired that Derrick would have preferred them only halfway up. So she tried each evening to ensure that her vision of his view of normality had returned before he came home. It was not difficult. Frequently, the children had been asleep for over an hour when he arrived. The owl sat, ashen-faced, on the wall by the front door, a victim of Elsa's bad taste in placing it there. It had no choice but to watch each day the patterns of entry and removal. Two dysfunctional people, it thought, and their, as yet, undamaged offspring. These I am forced to watch. Unblinking, it sat, set in grey concrete, and felt the breeze as bodies brushed past each day. For weeks now, it had watched Derrick return home with the demons on his back. The grey-fleshed gargoyles were beginning to flex their wings and hiss back at the owl as he passed. Elsa's cloud, which hung above her head, was descending steeply. She would soon be enclosed in a perpetual fog. The owl was finding that the garden wall was no longer a pleasant place to roost. Derrick's final day in the office was uneasy. No work came for the tray marked in, and everything he had previously placed in the one marked out had gone. Ewan came in and stood in the office doorway. He spoke awkwardly. "Do you fancy coming down the pub at lunchtime to, Derrick supposed that he meant to celebrate, or to drown his sorrows, which he was unsure. Ewan had never invited his company there before, but Derrick knew that a protocol existed for these things. Custom dictated that he should have brought cream cakes, or at least been stood a round of drinks by those he was leaving behind. He shook his head and tried to sound jaunty. "Sorry, Ewan, no can do." Derrick realized he should proffer excuses, but none came to mind. If only the crack in the wall would open up a little further, he felt sure he could slip through to a form of world where all would be fine. He tried to imagine the Eden in his head. The still, damp garden would be his own place of safety. and he was luxuriating in the undisturbed peace when he realized that a familiar figure had followed him through the gap. Elsa was there with him. The surprise forced his retreat back to the few remaining trade journals ranged across his desk. When Derek finally emerged from the building, he was surprised by the brightness of the clear sky. It was months since he had returned home in daylight. He could not go back now, or she would know something was wrong. What would he do next Monday? What should he do now? He would never see the crack in the wall again, and it made him sad, in a way that leaving behind the people did not. Derek walked through the park. The ducks fought, drunk and disorderly over crumbs. Litter rampaged. The place was full of children he did not know, just like his own. Afterwards, he sat for hours in an anonymous bar. It did not occur to him that Elsa might worry for his safety. He caught the penultimate train of the night, and on the walk home from the station, snow began to mizzle down. It was gone 11 when he passed the glaring owl on the wall and began to search for his keys. Elsa was sitting in the hall. She held an empty mug, and Derek guessed she had been watching the door for a long time. There it was again. The crack was no longer an undisciplined scar on a bland office wall. It was a moment in time. Derek could see it clearly again, the crooked shape of it worn on Elsa's face. This was a chance to break through somewhere and take her with him. "Elsa, come dancing with me in the snow!" Elsa felt the draught from the door drop down and worry at her ankles. It was the first time Derek had asked anything of her since she could not remember when. "All right, let's go!" She grabbed her coat from the hook and took his limp hand to lead him. So what if the neighbours saw, she thought? It would give them something to whisper about. Draping a scarf around her neck, she realized she could ask something of him, too. "Derek, what's the matter? Tell me." He thought there was little left to lose. It had seemed so hard. But through the hall window the snow was falling faster and faster, and it was easy now. "I've lost my job." "Oh, Derek." She held him around the waist. It was less an embrace than an anchor to steady them both. "Come on," he urged her. "You said we could go dancing." The owl watched as the door flailed open, and Elsa and Derek were flung out. In the garden, fat flakes were falling home. They formed a scant carpet above the grass. Elsa and Derek waltzed a tango and jived a polka in the middle of the lawn. Some youths returning from the pub were snowballing. One projectile missed its target and smashed against the owl's pedestal. "Sorry," they called, and giggled at the couple cavorting on the lawn. Derek waved at them over Elsa's shoulder. He had a thought. They were coming to him now as frequently as the flakes of snow. He shared it before it fell away and melted. "This weekend, shall we tidy up the cupboard under the stairs? We could get a babysitter as well and go out for the evening, see a film," she said, excited by this new contact. "I'd like that. I'd really like that, Elsa." It seemed unfamiliar to them both, this tentative exchange. Derek felt Elsa's hands, one cold on the back of his neck and the other pushed inside his jacket, thumb resting on a slack belt. He suddenly stopped moving. "About my job?" "We'll talk about it tomorrow," Elsa reassured him. The owl stared down from its rostrum.
What are you looking at? Derek called out to it. Haven't you ever seen two people in love dancing in the snow?
Elsa pushed him round to see who was speaking, thinking that the twins might have emerged from the cocoon of the house. But it was only the all-seeing owl staring back. Knowingly, it looked on as out upon the frosted grass two people cracked and became totally, yet irrevocably, sane.